Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, December 17th. Coming up this hour,
Theresa May pushes back against a second referendum on Brexit.
Italy's lenders reach a deal to send a revised budget proposal to the EU.
Malaysia files criminal charges against Goldman Sachs for its role in the 1MDB scandal.
Rudy Giuliani says President Trump will sit down for an interview with Robert Mueller over his dead body. And Chuck Schumer says President Trump will not get a border wall in any form. I'm Pat Carroll. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Giants shut out at home by Tennessee. Knicks and Rangers both lost. The Nets won. The Mets signed catcher Wilson Ramos.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And this on a morning when futures in the U.S. are somewhat mixed. S&P futures right now up 1 point. The Dow futures unchanged, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 7 points higher. That's up 0.1%. We're seeing dollar weakness across the board. The euro 113.39. That's up 0.3% against the dollar. And British pound sterling at 126.10. That is up 0.2%. The 10-year note in the U.S. 2.87% as the price is up by 0.3 seconds. And this Bloomberg Business Flash brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
John, we begin in the UK, where Prime Minister Theresa May is pushing back against holding a second referendum on Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Seb.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The Prime Minister saying today that calling a second referendum will be a catastrophic breach of trust that would do, quote, irreparable damage to the integrity of British politics. David Lidington, her deputy, and her chief of staff, Gavin Barwell, both denied supporting another vote on Sunday after newspaper reports said they'd had talks on the issue. And that speculation has intensified after May withdrew a House of Commons vote on her deal with the bloc last week after it became clear that she was headed for defeat. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Seb, thanks a lot. In Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has reached a deal with populist leaders to submit a revised budget to the EU. It includes a lower deficit target of 2.04% in a bid to avert fines against Italy. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
This probably puts us in a good vibe on Italian assets for the next couple of months, but I think probably towards the end of first quarter next year, we're going to start getting the real hard data in. And I think that will probably show that Italy's debt pile is continuing to grow. So I don't think that the Italian problem has gone away permanently, but it might be kind of put away for the next few months. I think it might be a topic again for the second half of next year.
And separately, we're getting euro area inflation data out just now with the reading for November revised down to 1.9%. That's from an original reading of 2%.
In Asia today, stocks posted modest gains to start the week. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Markets in Japan, India and Australia were among the best bid. The ASX 200 gaining 1% in Sydney, boosted by gains in heavyweight BHP, which announced a special $1.02 dividend. Tech shares boosted the Kospi in Seoul, while mainland Chinese stocks closed off the lows of the day. The CSI 300 losing 0.2% as healthcare players dragged. Chinese auto stocks were also among the laggards as investors assess China's confirmation it will remove the tit-for-tat duty on American-made car imports. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. With concerns about trade clouding the outlook for global growth, investors get clues on the path of policy from the Federal Reserve this week. The central bank issues a rate decision on Wednesday. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Traders and economists say the Fed will pull the trigger on another interest rate increase this week. Low unemployment, rising wages, and strong retail sales telling the central bankers inflation pressures remain. The question is, what happens in 2019? For that, we'll turn to the new dot plot of Fed rate forecasts. In September, the median dot suggested 3 moves next year. The economists surveyed by Bloomberg see two hikes while the markets are barely pricing in one. Chairman Jay Powell's news conference will be critical as he sets the tone and offers explanations for the bank's updated forecast. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Malaysia has filed criminal charges against Goldman Sachs over bond sales involving 1MDB. We get details from Bloomberg's Stephanie Fang in Singapore.
These charges are the first criminal charges against Goldman since it was embroiled in the 1MDB scandal. And they're related to the bond sales that Goldman arranged for 1MDB. The accusations are pretty strongly worded. Goldman allegedly misrepresented to investors that proceeds from these bond sales would be used for legitimate purposes.
And Goldman Sachs says it will vigorously defend against the charges, which it believes are misdirected.
And Nissan's board failed to pick a successor for former chairman Carlos Ghosn. Instead, at their meeting today, board members focused on establishing a committee to strengthen corporate governance at the carmaker. Bloomberg's Karimi Mori has details from Yokohama.
Up to this point, we all know Carlos Ghosn has been the center of attention, but now the focus is starting to shift on Nissan. Sources say the indictments raise questions about Nissan's corporate governance, and so the attention is on Nissan's chief executive, Kiyoto Saikawa, and so much so that analysts say his job as CEO may now be on the line.
Nissan is also facing fines for misleading investors about how much it was paying Carlos Ghosn.
In Europe, shares of British retailer Asos are down about 40%. The company cut its sales growth outlook after a significant deterioration in November. It's sparking concern that slowing retail growth in the UK is spreading from brick-and-mortar stores to online sellers.
And U.S. healthcare stocks could be poised for an ugly session after Friday's ruling that Obamacare is unconstitutional. While many analysts expect the decision to be reversed by higher courts, the news adds volatility to the sector. Centene and Molina Healthcare could bear the brunt of the sell-off given their exposure to Medicaid and Obama markets. S&P futures right now, they are unchanged. The Dow futures down 7, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures up 6 points, up about a tenth of a percent. Just ahead, a check on news from around the world. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. To find out what's going on around the world, we turn to Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump won't be sitting down with special counsel Robert Mueller, says his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. After what they did to Flynn, the way they trapped him into perjury, and no sentence for him, 14 days for Papadopoulos, I did better on traffic violations than they did with Papadopoulos.
So when you say good luck, you're saying no way, no interview.
They're a joke over my dead body, but, you know, I could be dead.
The White House has sent written answers to the special counsel's questions about possible collusion. Giuliani spoke to Fox News Sunday as heard on Bloomberg Radio. With a Friday midnight deadline looming, Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says there's no excuse to shut down the government over a border wall or any other issue.
There's a compromise and people will come to the table in good faith on both sides. We have to prevent a government shutdown.
The White House is demanding Congress provide $5 billion for a wall. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says the wall doesn't have the votes in the Senate or House. Collins spoke on ABC's This Week and Schumer on NBC's Meet the Press, as heard on Bloomberg Radio. Saudi Arabia today issued an unusually strong rebuke of the U.S. Senate, rejecting a bipartisan resolution that blamed the Saudi crown prince for the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, describing it as interference in the kingdom's affairs. A new survey finds twice as many high school students used nicotine-tinged electronic cigarettes this year compared with last year. The survey also found a dramatic rise in vaping among children. Experts attribute that jump to newer versions of e-cigarettes like those by Juul Labs. Leaders from 190 countries have brokered a climate deal at a UN summit in Poland. British naturalist Sir David Attenborough spoke, urging world leaders to take action before it's too late.
Right now, we're facing a man-made disaster of global scale.
The rule book allows countries to put into action the principles in the 2015 Paris Climate Change Accord, which the Trump administration has promised to abandon. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and a TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time to check the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Giants began the year 1-7, then suddenly went 4-1 with talk of slim playoff hopes. Those were certainly dashed in the heavy rain at MetLife. The Giants thoroughly whipped by Tennessee 17-0. Derrick Henry rushed for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has over 400 yards, 6 TDs in the Titans' last 2 games. Saquon Barkley, meanwhile, could never get it going. Only 31 yards and 2 costly turnovers by Eli Manning.
Give credit to Tennessee. Their defense, they played well. They did a good job. Stopping the run on early downs, and then the few times we finally got some drives going, we just had either had negative plays or had penalties or had something go wrong where we just couldn't sustain the drives and keep things going. So they played well. We didn't execute well enough. We didn't make the plays we need to make, and they just outplayed.
An upset last night in L.A. The Eagles, after losing quarterback Carson Wentz, had become a near 2-touchdown underdog. But Nick Foles came off the bench last season for Wentz, led Philly to the Super Bowl win, and led the Eagles past the Rams 30-23. NBA saw the Knicks go down at Indiana, 110-99. That's the Pacers' 8th win in a row, the Knicks' 7th loss of the last 8. At Barclays, D'Angelo Russell, 32 points. Brooklyn overwhelmed Atlanta, 144-127. The Nets have won 5 straight. Matinee at the Garden, Rangers lost in overtime to Vegas, 4-3. St. John's beat Wagner. Red Storm now 10-0. The Mets have their catcher. It is not JT Realmuto, who they had hoped to acquire from Miami. Instead, plan B, they signed free agent Wilson Ramos. Good hitter when healthy. He has served a lot of time on the disabled list over the last several years. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Futures on Wall Street appear to be looking for direction this morning. They are a little changed right now, with S&P futures up by just 1 point. Dow futures down 1 point. NASDAQ futures up, but just 0.1%, 7 points higher. Price of the 10-year up 2/32, the yield at 2.88%. 2-year treasuries at 2.72%. British pound at $1.2626, while the euro is trading at $1.1338. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we get you set up for the week ahead with the help of Bloomberg News editors around the world. Tracy Alloway joins us from Hong Kong, David Merritt in London, and Joe Weisenthal in New York. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. Stocks fell in Europe and U.S. equity futures. They are mixed right now after a mixed session in Asia. The market's looking to the Federal Reserve this week for hints on how a volatile year may end to benchmark Treasury yields, steadying just below 2.9%. Right now, the 10-year at 2.88%. It is up in price by 2/32. S&P futures are down 1 point. The Dow futures in the U.S. down 21 points. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures ahead of the open on Wall Street. Right now, up 2 points, almost unchanged. The euro at 1.1338, up 0.3% against the dollar. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, John. Chuck Schumer says the president's border wall doesn't have the votes. Susan Collins says a compromise to avoid a government shutdown is possible. Rudy Giuliani says the president would give Robert Mueller an interview over his dead body. Sports, the NFL, Giants blanked by Tennessee. The Jets lost to Houston, Patriots fell to Pittsburgh. The Redskins beat Jacksonville, Ravens topped Tampa Bay, 49ers edged out Seattle, and the Raiders lost to Cincinnati. Basketball, the Nets beat Atlanta, Knicks lost to Indiana, and the Wizards beat the Lakers. While on the ice, the Rangers lost to Las Vegas, and the Bruins lost to Buffalo. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. Helping us do that from New York, Joe Weisenthal, head of the Americas News Desk at Bloomberg News. Our European News Director, David Merritt, joins us from our London Bureau, and in Hong Kong, we're joined by Executive Editor Tracy Alloway. David, let's start with you, because after surviving a confidence vote and a kind of rough meeting, a latest meeting with EU ministers, UK Prime Minister Theresa May is holding firm on her Brexit plan.
That's right. You know, against all the evidence that's pointing to the impossibility, really, of her getting this plan through Parliament. She's ploughing ahead. The, amid all the chaos and confusion, the one thing that you can say is that this call for a second vote, a second referendum, really is gaining some traction. So May today coming out strongly against that suggestion as well. Some reports over the weekend that her own ministers are even backing this idea. She says that would be a betrayal of the vote in 2016 and we have to plough on ahead. The problem is, you know, her options, if she's not going to call another vote, are very limited. She's not going to get this deal through Parliament as it stands. Time is running out. Is she going to steer Britain towards a no-deal Brexit at the end of March, or is there going to be another vote? Something is going to have to give in the weeks ahead.
All right, Tracy, let's turn to you in Asia, where Malaysia is coming down hard now against Goldman Sachs and the 1MDB scandal.
Yep, they are indeed. Malaysia filing the first criminal charges against Goldman related to 1MDB. That scandal, of course, has really been reverberating in Asia politics for some time now, but it's only really just starting to gain a lot of attention in the U.S. And, of course, there's going to be a debate here about how painful those Malaysia charges can actually be for Goldman in terms of legal ramifications or monetary fines. Remember, this is going to have to play out in the Malaysian courts, and Goldman actually doesn't have much of a business left in Malaysia anymore. But from a reputational standpoint, it has the potential to be a really big one. I mean, for most Americans, you know, the notion of criminal charges against bankers is something that they never saw in the aftermath of the financial crisis. And here's Malaysia offering criminal charges for alleged bad behavior by Goldman overseas. So definitely one to watch.
Yeah, certainly going to be interesting to see how American bankers react to that news. But Joe Weisenthal, I got to imagine the immediate attention focus in America is on the Fed and the Wednesday decision.
Yeah, huge decision coming up. Not much uncertainty, I would say, probably regarding the actual decision on Wednesday. Most people expect a hike, but there are a lot of expectations that they will respond somehow to the recent market volatility to perhaps take down the forecast for 2019, maybe lower their dots, maybe change the language to emphasize their data dependency, that they're not on a preset course. A lot's riding on this. I mean, you could say arguably that the sell-off really began in earnest at the beginning of October when Chairman Jay Powell said the Fed was still probably a long way from neutral. And people are still very unsure where things are going. So definitely the event of the week.
David Merritt in London. Has Italy finally turned a corner in its budget fight with the EU?
I really think we'd be getting ahead of ourselves if we said they had turned a corner. There is a new proposal on the table. The Italian Prime Minister says he's brokered this agreement with the two main parts of the coalition. It's for a slightly lower budget deficit than was proposed. The problem is the markets are slightly seeing through all this morning. It's still probably a little bit too high, the spending for the European Commission. And also, people are questioning where the money's coming from. They're talking about finding another 3 billion euros without actually saying where that's coming from. So the numbers do look a little bit shaky. Italian bonds, you'd expect to rally strongly if there was a proper, credible deal. That's not happening. They're actually down slightly in Milan.
And speaking of shaky, Tracy Alloway, a lot of headlines coming down this morning regarding Nissan and Carlos Ghosn.
Yes, indeed. So it's been 5 weeks that Nissan hasn't basically had a leader in the form of Carlos Ghosn after the indictment, and it looks like it's going to be many weeks more. So we just saw a press conference wind up in Tokyo, and instead of choosing or announcing a successor, the Nissan board basically just pledged to establish a committee to strengthen their corporate governance. So it looks like they're not really in a rush to choose Ghosn's successor. Meanwhile, we have that ruffling quite a few feathers over at Renault. They're talking about possibly calling a shareholder meeting to discuss Ghosn's indictment and ways forward when it comes to the alliance with Nissan.
Real quickly, Joe Weisenthal, you got to wonder whether lawmakers on Capitol Hill are in a rush to avert government shutdown.
Yeah.
The deadline is Friday night.
Yeah, it should be a really remarkable week in D.C. All kinds of interesting politics at play because, of course, Trump wants the wall. There probably aren't the votes for the wall. Trump already said in that meeting with Schumer and Pelosi that he would take credit for the shutdown. That's usually not the thing you're supposed to say in these kind of situations. So should be a fascinating week in D.C.
Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk at Bloomberg News. Also joining us this morning, David Merritt from London, our European News Director, and Bloomberg News Executive Editor Tracy Alloway joining us from Hong Kong. Thanks to all of you. on this morning, where the markets appear to be looking for some direction on this Monday morning, with S&P futures down a point. Dow futures now down 23 points, or about a 10%. NASDAQ futures little changed. They're gaining just a point ahead of the open. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And for breaking news, wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have launched TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are mixed this morning as we approach the end of the year. U.S. futures dropping slightly lower now. Europe's Stock 600 is down 0.5%, while equities in Asia posted modest gains.
In the U.K., Theresa May is pushing back against holding a second referendum on Brexit. Bloomberg's Christine Burke has details.
The UK Prime Minister is due to brief Parliament today, and according to some excerpts of her speech, she basically said that any second referendum would be a catastrophic breach of trust. She went on to say it would further divide the country at the very moment that the UK government should be working to unite it.
Speculation has intensified about a second referendum since May withdrew a vote on her deal last week.
Malaysia has filed criminal charges against Goldman Sachs over bond sales involving 1MDB. The Malaysian government says Goldman made false statements and will seek fines of more than $3 billion.
And shares of the British retailer ASOS down about 40% in London. The company cut its sales growth outlook after a significant deterioration in November.
Well, here in the U.S., healthcare stocks could be poised for an ugly session after Friday's ruling that Obamacare is unconstitutional. While many analysts expect the decision will be reversed by higher courts, the news adds volatility to the sector.
Oracle reports earnings after the close of U.S. trading. With the preview now, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analysts surveyed by Bloomberg see the database software company reporting adjusted earnings per share of 78 cents on revenue of $9.52 billion. Oracle is trying to become a powerhouse in web-based cloud computing. Questions on the conference call will likely surround the next phase of Oracle's cloud strategy after its product development president left for Google. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks a lot. This on a morning when futures in the U.S. point to a lower open. S&P futures right now down 2 points. That's down 0.1%. The Dow futures, 32 points lower. That's down 0.1%. NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 5 points. That is down 0.1%. The volatility index is up 3%. The VIX right now 22.37. We're seeing dollar weakness across the board. Euro 113.41, up 0.3%. The yen at 113.28. That is up 0.1% against the greenback. And sterling 126.26. That is up 0.3% against the dollar. 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.88%. The price is up by 2/32. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to get the latest world and national news. It's brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Inglewood. The luxury you deserve is at Jaguar Land Rover Inglewood. Minutes from the George Washington Bridge off Route 4. JaguarInglewood.com, LandRoverInglewood.com. Here's Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, Nathan. With the threat of a government shutdown Friday, the White House is insisting Congress provide $5 billion to build a border wall. But Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says it won't happen.
President Trump should understand there are not the votes for the wall in the House or the Senate. He is not going to get the wall in any form.
White House senior advisor Stephen Miller says President Trump is holding to his position of doing whatever it takes to build a wall. Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says there's no need to shut down the government over the wall or any issue.
Keep in mind that the president's budget this year had $1.6 $5 billion for the wall. And the broader security package was $2.5 billion that we worked out with Homeland Security to meet the other parts of border security, which are at least equally important.
Six of 15 government departments are funded and would not be affected by a shutdown, but a partial shutdown would affect the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as Homeland Security, Treasury, Justice, and Interior. Schumer spoke on NBC's Meet the Press and Collins on ABC's This Week. Miller on CBS's Face the Nation, all heard on Bloomberg Radio. Rudy Giuliani vows President Trump won't sit down for an interview with special counsel Robert Mueller. The president's attorney told Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio, that Trump will sit down with Mueller, quote, over my dead body. The Trump White House is getting a slow-motion facelift. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president, for the moment, has solved his chief of staff position after spending a month trying to find somebody who would take the job. He's settled on budget director Mick Mulvaney as acting chief. Then late last week, EPI head Ryan Zinke resigned after months of criticism from the president. Next on the list, sources say, is probably Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who's also faced criticism over border control. And the latest murmurs are the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, although he is reportedly pushing hard to stay. The president says the White House is a happy place. It is getting new faces. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, a lot of Giants fans skipped yesterday's game, opting not to sit in the driving rain. Wise choice. Those that went had virtually nothing to cheer for. Giants shutout at home, first time in 5 years. The Titans beat Pat Shurmur's team 17-0.
Do anything well enough to expect to win. I didn't make plays. We didn't run the ball. We didn't stay on the field on offense. We had penalties. So we didn't play well enough there. I thought on defense, you know, they ran the ball. We didn't tackle as well as we did in the last few weeks, you know, which extended drives for them, and they beat us. You know, we had a turnover there that turned into points, you know, and it was a close game, and we just didn't find any. When you don't get in the end zone, you can't win.
So forget the playoffs. The other three teams in the NFC East are in a battle. The Cowboys at Indianapolis got shut out, first time in 15 years. The Redskins, with Josh Johnson at quarterback, his first start in 7 years, won at Jacksonville. And last night, the Eagles upset the Rams in L.A. 30-23. So Dallas now leads Washington and Philly by one game. Patriots lost at Pittsburgh 17-10, still haven't clinched the East. Steelers stay just ahead of Baltimore in the North. Chicago Bears, first division title since 2010. That was also the last time they had a home win over Green Bay. Latest Knicks loss, 110-99 at Indiana. Pacers have won 7 straight. Knicks have lost 7 of 8. The Nets winning streak reached 5, 144-127 over Atlanta. Rangers lost in overtime to Vegas 4-3. St. John's now 10-0 with a win over Wagner. The Mets checked another box for the offseason. They needed a catcher. They signed free agent Wilson Ramos. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Well, then go do it. Go do it, she said. With those words, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker-designate, challenged and bested President Trump in a memorable Oval Office encounter. The episode highlights a quality that has been all too absent in Washington and for which Pelosi deserves praise: fact-based leadership. Her skills were also present as she guided Democrats to a victory in the midterms, and as she won back the Speaker's gavel. She managed to quiet Democratic calls for congressional investigations into Trump deeds and possible misdeeds. Democrats need to offer a positive agenda, one that doesn't slam the door on bipartisanship. And she promised to step down in 2022, a significant concession. Pelosi deserves credit for advancing the idea that genuinely good leaders prepare future leaders. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 now on Wall Street, and Bob Moon has today's Bloomberg Green Report.
After 3 years of declines in climate warming gases, emissions from power plants, cars, and other uses of energy in the U.S. are on the rise again. The new government data defies the Trump administration's argument for rolling back regulations. Up to now, it had boasted that doing so had not led to a rise in pollution. Now, the Energy Department says energy-related carbon dioxide emissions are projected to rise 3% in 2018. The Trump administration attributes the uptick to a warmer summer and colder winter. The three preceding years of declines came as utilities increasingly shut down coal plants and switched to cleaner-burning natural gas. Trump's appointees at the Environmental Protection Agency pointed to falling greenhouse gas emissions to justify their deregulation agenda. Acting Administrator Andrew Wheeler went as far as declaring, "The Trump administration has proven that federal regulations are not necessary to drive CO2 reductions." That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And the issue of climate change will likely be taken up by more than just the traditional House committees next year. Nancy Lyons has more on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Everyone apparently wants to get a piece of the climate action.
Speaker-designate Pelosi has said that she wants to resurrect the Special Committee on Climate Change, which would be its own panel just about that, but also transportation, foreign affairs, natural resources, and maybe even agriculture a little bit are among them.
Bloomberg Environment editor Rob Tricanelli says while the House plans to tackle climate change, their efforts are not expected to be well received in the Senate. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Futures contracts are following European equities in the red at the moment, with S&P futures down 3 points now, or about a 10%. Dow futures are also a 10% lower, 32-point drop, and NASDAQ futures down nearly a 10% or 5 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Opinion was brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car Corporation in beautiful Englewood, New Jersey. A true luxury experience. Benzel Busch is where luxury lives. Experience the elevated standard you deserve. Visit BenzelBusch.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, 6:47 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. Futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning. Let's head over to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And good morning, Bill Maloney.
And good morning, John. That's right. U.S. futures are trading lower after Friday's plunge. Dow futures currently down 42 points. S&P's dropped 4, and NASDAQ futures declined by 8. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.88%. Oil is trading higher, and Japan rose 0.6% overnight. European markets are also trading lower, led by declines in Germany and the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing, and at 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. In other news, Goldman Sachs faces the first criminal charges in the 1MDB scandal, and Bernstein boosted Macau December gaming revenue targets. In deal news, Hitachi to buy ABB's power grids business for $6.4 billion. And wrapping things up, Best Buy was downgraded to underperform at Bank of America. Scandit downgraded to neutral over at Guggenheim. Sherwin-Williams upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan. And Lululemon upgraded to buy over at Stiefel. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
All right, thanks, Bill. Again, S&P futures down 4. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 10. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk in your terminal. It is now 6:48 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash, now with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Pat Carroll.
Good morning, John. Senator Susan Collins says a compromise is possible to prevent a government shutdown, but Chuck Schumer says the president's wall doesn't have the votes. Rudy Giuliani says President Trump will sit for an interview with special counsel Robert Mueller over his dead body. Sports in the NFL, the Giants were blanked by Tennessee. Jets lost to Houston. Patriots fell to Pittsburgh. The Redskins beat Jacksonville. Ravens topped Tampa Bay. 49ers edged out Seattle, and the Raiders lost to Cincinnati. Basketball, the Nets beat Atlanta, Knicks lost to Indiana, and the Wizards beat the Lakers. On the ice, the Rangers lost to Las Vegas, and the Bruins lost to Buffalo. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Pat, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Texas judges ruling against Obamacare and the threat of a government shutdown over border security gave guests on the Sunday political talk shows plenty to talk about. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer told NBC's Meet the Press he will fight the ruling against the Affordable Care Act, in his words, tooth and nail.
The first thing we're going to do when we get back there in the Senate is put a vote on the floor urging an intervention in the case.
On the same program, Republican Senator Roy Blunt noted the ruling won't take effect while the case is under appeal.
We have a real opportunity here with to look at this Democrat Congress, Republican Senate, Republican President trying to find solutions to some of these problems that have now been around for at least 6 years.
A more immediate problem, though, is this Friday night when about a quarter of the government could shut down without new funding. President Trump is insisting on $5 billion for border security, including a wall. On ABC's This Week, Republican Senator Susan Collins pushed a compromise, $2.5 billion a year for a decade.
That includes not only physical barriers like fences and walls, but also technology, more border patrol agents.
White House senior advisor Stephen Miller gave the administration position on CBS Face the Nation.
We're going to do whatever is necessary to build the border wall to stop this ongoing crisis of illegal immigration.
And that means
if it comes to it, absolutely.
And President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani appeared on two Sunday programs to respond to Michael Cohen's sentencing and his claim that the president directed him to break the law.
Pathetic. The man is pathetic. That's a lawyer you were interviewing, and he says he directed me to do it, and he. Oh, my goodness, he directed me. He's a lawyer. He's the guy you depend on to determine whether or not you should do it this way or that way.
Giuliani spoke there on ABC's This Week, and on Fox News Sunday, he was asked whether the president will ever sit for an interview with special counsel Robert Mueller.
Good luck. After what they did to Flynn, the way they trapped him into perjury, and no sentence for him, 14 days for Papadopoulos, I did better on traffic violations than they did with Papadopoulos.
So when you say good luck, you're saying no interview.
They're a joke. Over my dead body, but, you know, I could be dead.
And that is just some of what you heard from the political talk shows that you hear every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock on Sundays. Let's get more on all this now and the week ahead in Washington from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. So, Kate, I guess Giuliani sort of put the nail in the coffin of a sit-down interview idea with Mueller, huh?
Yeah, over my dead body seems pretty definitive, although yeah. I think it's worth noting that in true Giuliani fashion, he did a couple of interviews and, you know, equivocated a bit more in some of the others. So, you know, I think I think he's definitely intended to kind of take it off the table, but I think that in the sense that anything is possible in the Trump administration, perhaps we could still see it, so... You know, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. What did you make of Giuliani's performance on both those programs? He seemed to be wanting to put or poke a lot of holes in Michael Cohen's credibility. I mean, what does that say about the strategy going forward?
Absolutely. And I think that's been the tactic really all along when it comes to Michael Cohen. And I think it shows really, you know, that how concerning Cohen's statements are to Trump's camp, and the fact that they, from really the get-go, have been focusing a lot of energy on kind of poking holes in what he has to say. And so I think that again shows an indication that they are a bit concerned about the damage that he could do to Trump and others in his inner circle. And also I think that's something that we would expect to continue. So basically anything you know, negative that they can point out about Cohen, I think we will continue to see them do that. We saw the president doing it earlier this week where he basically made the point, and I think somewhat valid point, that, you know, he employed Cohen as his attorney, and so it would be Cohen's job to you know, weigh in on what's legal and not legal. That wouldn't be the job of someone who's not an attorney. And we saw Giuliani basically making that argument as well. However, you know, whether or not that exempts Trump from some kind of legal or political responsibility, I think is a completely separate question.
All right, let's move on to the shutdown deadline this Friday night. And as we heard from Stephen Miller on Face the Nation, if necessary, they will go ahead with a government shutdown. At least that's what the administration is saying, if they don't get what they want on border security. So, I mean, is there any room for compromise?
Well, I think, you know, we're really kind of 4 days out now from a potential partial government shutdown. And in congressional and Washington terms, 4 days is still kind of an eternity. When we see these deals, these last minute deals come together to avert a shutdown, they likely happen, you know, they often happen after dinner on the final day. And so, you know, 4 days out is still a really long time for something to come together. That being said, this feels a bit different from a lot of past shutdowns in the sense that there's less of an incentive really for either side to avoid a shutdown right now, which is strange in a way. But I think that for Trump's base, there isn't, you know, folks like Stephen Miller, I think, make that point. There isn't a whole lot of concern about a shutdown, I think, because they think that their base is going to be happy for them sticking to their guns on the question of the border wall and demanding that funding. And for Democrats, the flip side is that, you know, Nancy Pelosi is looking at having to win a speaker vote in early January. They're coming in, they're under pressure from their own base not to yield to those demands. And so when you see a scenario like this one where there's an argument that both sides could somewhat benefit politically from, if not from a shutdown, but potentially from not, you know, making concessions that would be required to avoid a shutdown, it makes it look like a shutdown may be a real possibility.
And looking at the other main topic of the Sunday programs, the Texas ruling essentially finding all of the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. Does this suddenly make health care a 2020 issue again?
It does. And I think that's what's really interesting about this ruling from a political standpoint. You know, from a policy standpoint, I think that it's pretty clear that higher courts are going to have to weigh in again. And, you know, whether or not they uphold this ruling will really be determinative of whether there are any policy shifts. But from a political standpoint, I think it really does re-inject the sort of 2008 to 2010 timeframe debate over Obamacare and the merits of the law on its base back into the, you know, Washington sphere just in time for the 2020 campaign to get rolling. And I think that part of what we'll see here is, you know, Democrats becoming increasingly energized on this issue in the sense that I think there'll be a concern out there that, you know, if they don't get a Democrat in the White House, there could be some real opening again for a president to do something to unravel the law more broadly.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. John.
All right, Nate, thanks a lot. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, says small businesses across the country are facing a sales tax Armageddon. Wyden is one of four senators behind a bill that would prohibit states from imposing sales tax collection duties on remote sellers for any sale that occurred prior to June 21st. That's the day the U.S. Supreme Court released its South Dakota versus Wayfair decision.
The court has made a major judgment, a flawed one, that essentially you could turn these small businesses around the country, even in states that don't have sales taxes, into tax collectors.
The ruling impacts those businesses that sell stuff in states where they don't have a physical presence. In other words, selling stuff on the Internet. 25 states have already begun enforcing requirements that remote sellers collect and remit sales and use taxes. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. The futures in the U.S., they are pointing to a lower open. Right now, S&P futures down 3 points. That's down about 0.1%. The Dow futures, 38 points lower. That's down 0.2. And Nasdaq E-mini futures are down 9 points. That is down about 0.1%. And just ahead, Bloomberg surveillance with the peripatetic Tom Keene. Finally back home, and John Farrell.